Life on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Barbara McGuigan here, still seeing each day as an Easter blessing until Pentecost, the birthday of our church. So do we realize that the resurrection restores life and the presence of God? The cross of shame becomes the throne of glory. He who was slain now lives forever. In him, all death has died. But having said that, the resurrection of Christ must be a truth that changes us too. Even though we still live our natural life, we possess that new and glorious life of his. We are in some sense already in heaven, believe it or not. I'm not sure I believe that, but believe it or not. Now we have hope because he is risen. And you know, at the end of his homily this Easter Sunday, a few weeks ago, our holy pastor shouted right into our faces, "He is risen, risen. Now we have hope." My brothers and sisters, we must show this on our faces. The resurrection is all about restoration. Jesus came not just to redeem us, but to transform us, to restore us to our dignity as children of God. And this is no small thing. So let us witness to this truth. Today, Alan Smith is back for part two of our discussion on his tremendous new book called The Greatest Commandment, a Fulton Sheen anthology on love, which is a timely reprint of Archbishop Sheen's two seminal books, Love One Another and God Love You. This anthology of his best-selling reflections also contains quotes. Does it contain quotes, my goodness, and prayers that Bishop Sheen compiled to foster ecumenism and societal unity. Honestly, the good bishop's words could have been written today. Humanity is in crisis. I don't need to tell you that. You already know that. Our worldly corruption is now very visible. The battle lines are drawn. Voltaire, a philosopher in a similar crisis long ago in France during the Enlightenment, said, "Those who believe absurdities will commit atrocities." We are seeing both. But wait, the resurrection is all about restoration. Jesus suffered and died on the cross and rose from the dead to redeem us, yes, but also to restore us to our original dignity. If anyone tries to tell you that things are so bad today in our world that we have no hope, they must believe in a dead Jesus. Granted, the days we are witnessing are filled with raw evil. Many human beings have bought the lies of the assassins surrounding us on all sides, assassins in our government, in the medical profession, in our courts, and even in our churches. When darkness envelops the land, minds, hearts, and bodies become steeped in all the capital sins. Sins committed in darkness and secrecy are wrapped in euphemism and deception. But this is not new. Over 2,000 years ago, the darkest day in human history occurred. The vilest, most heinous crime ever was committed by those who would have called themselves spiritual. Jesus Christ was brutally scourged, crowned with thorns, nailed to a cross, and murdered by, quote, spiritual people. Gentiles and Jews alike. What these spiritual people were not able to see in all the darkness was God. They could not recognize God because they could not recognize love. Pathetically misguided, they did not know that God, who is love, is stronger than death. Only the King of the universe could penetrate the depth of the world's sin, the depth of the world's weariness, the depth of the world's faithlessness. the depth of the world's passing fancies and illusions, by the power of his mighty love. Evil will never triumph. Not 2,000 years ago, and not in 2022. We have a savior. So today, Alan Smith and I will focus on Bishop Sheen's wisdom and grace when it comes to world peace. We're watching so much violence on our TVs, if you can stomach this violence. So let's give a warm welcome to Alan Smith, who is a husband, father, grandfather, a man of trade, and a business owner. Al has served the church for 15 years as a Catholic evangelist, radio host, writer, internet broadcaster, and retreat director and board of directors promoting the cause of Sheen's canonization. He is the founder and director of the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Mission Society of Canada and editor of the best-selling book, The Cries of Jesus from the Cross, a Fulton Sheen anthology. So, Alan Smith, welcome to The Good Fight for Life.
Herbie, it is great back. It's great to be back here on the network. I know you love Fulton Sheen. Many people love Fulton Sheen. And, you know, we hear it all the time on the network, full Sheen ahead. And so it's like, we can never get enough Fulton Sheen. So I'm just honored you asked me back. I love spending, you know, half hour, an hour just talking about the good stuff. And yes. I like to say that these books that Fulton Sheen put together, like The Best of Sheen, I think really, you know, the editors of those books, and this one, 1955, the book God Love You, he took 245 of his best quotes from 23 of his books and put them into, what I call readable chapters. We're going to share a few little passages today, you know, a line here, a paragraph there, but that's all you need sometimes. I think Fulton Sheen, he's one of the most quoted authors today. I mean, I cannot go on Facebook without seeing a Fulton Sheen quote. I can't go on Twitter without seeing Fulton Sheen. So he's everywhere. And his pithy sayings, his nuggets of wisdom ring true today. I mean, they were written in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and it's like he's writing to the year 2022. So what we're going to share today is some real truth. And again, these were written, you know, decades ago, and yet it's like he's writing today. So looking forward to diving into just, I think we're going to open up with just one of the chapters of this book, The Greatest Commandment. So, and again, it's kind of a, what I call a bit of a battle cry. It's about saving souls. And so we're going to do that. So I'll let you begin, ladies first.
Okay.
And you can share, you know, share how a quote that struck you or right from the very first page, if you want, from the chapter. But let's begin.
Okay, that's great. Chapter 23 is entitled, There Can Be No World Peace Unless There Is Soul Peace. He says, unless souls are saved, nothing is saved. There can be no world peace unless there is soul peace. World wars are only projections of the conflicts waged inside the souls of modern men, for nothing happens in the external world that has not first happened within a soul. Here's what I was thinking when I read this. These are powerful words right now. I mean, when I right off the top, sin is a spiritual problem, right? The spirit submits to murder, to substance abuse, to all sins against life, every one, to sexual abuse. I mean, we could go on ad nauseum, right? Because the devil attacks the soul. And this is why only God can remedy this situation. Only God. And so I will let you take it away from here, and we'll start to talk about why this is the case, that no world peace can be without soul peace.
Right. I think Fulton Sheen, again, got everyone's attention, and the year was 1949. when he penned a book, Peace of Soul. And it was on the New York Times bestsellers list. And again, what a great honor to have to say you're a New York Times bestseller. Yeah. And of course, a few years later, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen would be an Emmy Award winning television host. So again, these having these credentials, but he must have wrote something very powerful in 1949. And he did, because the very first line of that book, Peace of Soul, is the line that you read: unless souls are saved, nothing is saved. Right. And, you know, I think, how often do we even make that our own little battle cry? Yeah. Do we wake up in the morning and say, I got to try to save my soul? And yet the church was founded not just to feed the poor and to make the world a better place. The mission of the church is to save souls. Okay, that's the mission of the church. And Fulton Sheen knew that. And he said, you know, let's not lose sight of the mission. The mission that Jesus came to save souls. And he used the strongest language about saving souls. And I know our first break is coming up and we'll continue a bit more as we go, but I'll leave our listeners with that beautiful quote and to write it on your fridge: unless souls are saved, nothing is saved.
Love it. My brothers and sisters, you're listening to Fight for Life on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Please stay with us. You'll love it.
Fight for Life with Barbara McGuigan on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to Fight for Life. I am here with Alan Smith, and today is going to be a day where we really dig deep into Bishop Fulton J. Sheen's, Archbishop actually, Fulton J. Sheen's writings. And so you take it away now, okay, Alan?
All right. Now, you may hear the word communism. You may hear the word fascism. I mean, Fulton Sheen talked a great deal about isms and and the evil of these isms. And I think what people needed to have, I guess, unpackaged is, what is evil? And so Fulton Sheen will give us a few clues here, if not clues, the truth. But I'm going to share something here. Again, Fulton Sheen writes, he says, God will not allow unrighteousness to become eternal. Revolution, disintegration, chaos must be reminders that our thinking has been wrong. Our dreams have been unholy. And I think, wow, he's really calling us out here. Yeah. Moral truth is vindicated by the ruin that follows when it has been repudiated. The chaos of our times is the strongest negative argument that could ever be advanced for Christianity. Catastrophe becomes a testimony to God's power in a meaningless world. For by it, God brings a meaninglessness existence to naught. The disintegration following an abandonment of God thus becomes a triumph of meaning, a reaffirmation of purpose. Now, this is what I love. He says, adversity is the expression of God's condemnation of evil, the registering of divine judgment. As hell is not sin, but the effect of sin, so these disordered times are not sin, but the wages of sin. Catastrophe reveals that evil is self-defeating. We cannot turn from God without hurting ourselves. And he's almost like a good father that says, you want to go play with fire? Go ahead, son. Go play with fire. See how you do, right? Yeah. But I'm going to just tell you, when you come home and you're injured, I'm going to say, I told you so. I told you so. And so Fulton Sheen is kind of saying to us, not kind of saying to us, he is saying to us, when you turn away from God, you reap the consequences. Again, and the judgment of God. God is a just God.
Just judge.
He's a just judge. And he does give us judgments here on this earth. And so again, you can't do these things and think, oh, we'll get away with it. Nothing will happen. No, things happen. So sometimes we have to be reminded, and what we see what's going on over in the Ukraine and Russia, and not just there, but in the Middle East and in Korea and all over the world, you can see when people turn away from God, bad things happen. They really do, you know?
Things get really dark. And that's what we're seeing, utter darkness. And so, yes, that's so good. And he also said, Jews, Protestants, and Catholics alike, and all men of goodwill, are realizing that the world is serving their souls with an awful summons. The summons, and he's talking to us, to heroic efforts at spiritualization. Now, you know what? I looked that up. I had never seen that word drawn out like that. And I wanted to see, to make spiritual, to purify from the corrupt world. That's what spiritualization means. In a spiritual sense or meaning that we recognize what is going on spiritually. He says, an alliance among Jews, Protestants, and Catholics is not necessary to fight against an external enemy, for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, of course, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in the high places. We desire unity of religion, but this is good. This is good, Alan, but not when purchased at the cost of the unity of the truth. You know, this whole thing that people say, well, where is your tolerance? You know, where is your tolerance? And that's where I love Bishop Sheen, how he said, love is not tolerance. Christian love bears evil, but it does not tolerate evil. It does penance for the sins of others, but it is not broad-minded about sin. See, I think today, don't you, Alan? I think today that people have become very broad-minded about sin. Oh, everyone's doing it. I mean, come on, don't be so rigid, right? Don't you hear this? I do. But the cry for tolerance, said Bishop Sheen, never induces it to quench its hatred of the evil philosophies that have entered into contest with the truth. That's when I read those words in this part, I thought of these words. And he says, it forgives the sinner and it hates the sin, but get the rest of this. It is unmerciful to the error in his mind. And I don't think that many Catholics today are doing this. And I'm talking to myself as well. I don't think we're just trying to go along to get along. You know what I mean? You got anything you want to jump in here on?
Yeah. And I think what Fulton Sheen is, you know, starting to unpackage here is he's saying, here's the price of sin.
Right.
Here's the price of turning away from God. But I'm going to now give you an opportunity to turn back to him. Yes. And to give you some solutions. And he even says in that passage that we were sharing towards the end of it, he says, you know, the forces of evil are united. The forces of good are divided.
Yeah.
We may not be able to meet in the same pew, would to God, to God, but we can meet on our knees. Yes. And so I think we're all kind of saying, how can we come together as a faith community, as people or believers or those who want peace? Well, we can have peace if we all get on our knees. And it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Protestant or Catholic. We can meet on our knees. And yes. I think Fulton Sheen, he just emphasized that every one of his radio broadcasts, he asked Jews, Protestants, and Catholics all to pray for 1 hour a day.
Yes.
And so, again, that is the solution. And he provides the solution because people are saying, well, how are we going to get out of this mess? How are we going to get out of this?
That's right.
Well, one of the ways to get out of the mess is prayer. And he reminds us here, especially.
Yeah.
I think what Feldenstein talks a lot about too is freedom. And I'm just going to jump ahead a little bit just to the next page, page 161.
Sure.
And I highlighted this whole little paragraph. It's because it's so important. Sheen writes, he says, freedom had its roots in man's spiritual nature. Before there was ever a liberal, a Democrat, a fascist, a communist, or a Nazi, freedom does not arise out of any social organization or any constitution or any party, but out of the soul of man. Yes. So freedom comes from our soul because, you know, our true home is heaven.
That's right. It is innate. It is innate. Jesus put it there. God put it there.
He did. And I think this is the whole thing. Like when, you know, when people have that sense of they're in the state of grace, they're in a good spot, they really say, I am free. I am free. I have this freedom. I don't have a weighing guilt on my shoulders. I don't have worry about the future as much as I used to, because you know you're in a good place and a good place. And because, again, you got your priorities right. You want to be right with God. Yes. And that's what Fulton Sheen was calling everybody to. Get right with God. Yeah. Get right with God because you want to have that freedom. And that's how you have peace of soul, is to free yourself of the troubles of the world and the troubles of sin.
Yes.
Because the wages of sin is death. So remember that. Yeah.
And do you remember, Alan, when he said that he loved the Blessed Mother so much? And I love that one book. I can't think of the name of it, but it's all about Mary. What you would know.
It's The World's First Love.
Okay. I have that book. It's in here somewhere. But it's one of my favorite books. I read it more than I read other books. But I love how he said that if you start praying the rosary, you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to stop praying the rosary or you're going to become Catholic. And when I first read that, I thought, you know, it's so true. When I was just a little kid, my mom and I prayed the rosary, you know, and I just was always filled with the love of Our Lady and with Jesus, her son. And, it, you know, it all follows. But it made me think when I was, as just what you were reading before, Martin Luther. Now, I was told that he said this. I was told he said, the Catholic faith is a hard faith to live in, but it's a great faith to die in. Now, why do you think that he would say it's a great faith to die in? Go.
Well, because I think he learned that the Catholics have these things called the sacraments.
Hello. And
the sacraments, that you are nourished by the Eucharist, you are redeemed and forgiven by the sacrament of reconciliation. Yeah. You have the graces of your baptism and your confirmation. Your marriage is blessed and sanctified, and you receive the last rites, you know, extreme unction, viaticum. You are given food for the journey. Do you get that in the other faiths? And I think he knew, oh, it's not there. It's there in the Catholic Church because our Lord founded the church and he gave us as a gift the sacraments. So he said, I will not leave you orphan. He gave us his mother and he gave us the Eucharist and the sacraments. And so we are fortified. We're ready for the journey. We can fight the fight, you know.
We can fight the good fight. But you know what I love about it? We have to, as Catholics, die to ourselves, do we not?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We learn how to die to ourselves. We learn how to suffer. We learn how good it is to have suffering, right? Uh-huh. I mean, I know that all sounds crazy to a lot of people, but it doesn't sound crazy to a Catholic person. And what do? You put it all in the hands of God, everything in the hands of God.
Yes.
So, go ahead.
Right. No, I think it's this idea of Fulton Sheen and, of course, the Catholic Church makes the cross. We get to understand what it's all about. Yeah. We understand its meaning. I mean, we just came through the season of Lent and we meditated on the seven last words that our Blessed Lord spoke from the cross, because yeah. those words have meaning. It's the words of a dying man who is just giving out these words of love. And so we unpackage the cross yes. and we realize that the cross is necessary and that we have to go through the cross yeah. and join our Lord. And so I see that our next break is coming, but a great way to segue, of course, is the cross of the clock and our radio breaks. But right. We'll be back, I'm sure, to share some more Sheen here.
You're listening to Fight for Life, my brothers and sisters. Stay with us. We'll be right back. That was a good segment. Thank you.
Now back to Fight for Life with Barbara McGuigan on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to Fight for Life, my brothers and sisters. As you know, or maybe you just joined so you don't know, this is Alan Smith, and he wrote an incredibly wonderful book, the Greatest Commandment, a Fulton Sheen Anthology on Love. It's a reprint of some of his greatest works. I mean, I think just everything that he wrote was quite incredible and great. When we were talking, Alan, you said freedom had its roots in man's spiritual nature before there was ever a liberal, a Democrat, a fascist, a communist, or a Nazi. You know, I had to laugh because I thought he got them all, right? He got it all listed down. But do you know what it made me think of? Braveheart. Uh-huh. It made me think of how important freedom was, right? He was trying to get it for the Scottish people, yes? To break away, he wanted independence against King Edward I, I think it was. And so he was fighting for freedom with adversity. You know, I look at the people in the Ukraine right now. They are fighting with adversity. You know, they want freedom. They want a democracy. But yet we have politicians that don't seem to see what's going on with them. They don't have the eyes to see, maybe, or they're, I don't know, but take that away. Okay. Yeah.
No. And I think we all sometimes are saying our politicians will save us. I've elected them to save us, you know? And so Fulton Sheen, of course, now has some wisdom for us here. He writes, he says, a nation always gets the politicians it deserves.
Amen.
Ooh. And I'll repeat that. A nation always gets the kind of politician it deserves.
Yep.
When our moral standards are different, our legislation will be different. As long as the decent people refuse to believe that morality must manifest itself in every sphere of human activity, including the political, they will not meet the challenge of Marxism. And so again, he was saying these evils are right on our doorstep.
Yep.
We get the politicians we deserve if we keep downplaying our morality. Oh, let's not talk about abortion, or let's not talk about euthanasia. Let's not bring it into the public sphere.
Right.
Well, the enemy loves that because he just says, okay, I'll deal with it our way, the way we want to. And we never rose up and said anything because we kept silent. So that's why we deserve the politicians we get, is because we're not interacting. We're not having a voice and saying, I'm going to put a good man or a good woman into office who shares Christian values. And I think this is why we just sometimes go to the ballot box blindly and don't really pray through it. Don't investigate. And yet Sheen was warning us back in the 50s. Remember, you will continue to get the politicians you deserve if you keep this formula for disaster. So yeah. Learn from your errors, learn.
But you know, there were so many people, even Catholics, who voted for our current president, mm-hmm. knowing full well, Alan, that he was vociferously anti-life. Doesn't that just upset you?
Again, I go back to the cross, and again, it's a Fulton Sheen line. He says, a world capable of putting God on a cross and killing him yeah. is capable of doing anything. And when I watch the news and I see who's getting elected, reelected, and what these people stand for, I go back to that Fulton Sheen line that says, a world capable of putting God on a cross and killing him is capable of doing anything, including electing, evil-minded politicians. So, again, it doesn't baffle me when I think of what Fulton Sheen, said to us, these things will happen again and again and again, because if they could kill God, they can kill God in the year 2022. So,
amen. It's like what I said in the opening, those who believe absurdities will commit atrocities.
Yes. Yes.
We are watching not only laws that are absurdities, but they're atrocities as well. I mean, we see what's happening there. Okay, yeah. I want to look at Pius XII here. This is one of Bishop Sheen's talks, I guess, right at the book. What is the main book that we're talking about here right now?
Okay, Bishop Sheen, was friendly with six popes. And I say friendly in the sense he's born in 1895. He becomes a priest in 1919. And so then it's like he started to visit the Vatican, start to have correspondence. He became a Monsignor at a young age. And of course, when you become a Monsignor, you then can go to the Vatican and have, he spoke very fondly of Pius X, Pius XII. He talks about the popes in his writings. And so he was always trying to unpackage the recent encyclicals to the people, to say, this is what the Holy Father is trying to encourage us to do and how to live. And so this is why you find him quoting Pius XII from his 1940 encyclical. So, because it's important. And a lot of those encyclicals we need to open up again and reread because of all the attacks. And again, those popes again wrote and, because they love the church, they want it to save souls. So they're just not words for the sake of writing. No, they were words like the Holy Father, your dad is writing love letters to us. And Fulton Sheen is unpackaging one of those love letters from Pius XII.
And so, this was in his Christmas message of 1940. Yeah. He said, he declared that one of the first victories to be won is, quote, victory over hate, which is today dividing the nations, end quote. And then Bishop Sheen said, communism is an ideology and as such is intrinsically wicked. But communists are persons made to the image and likeness of God and therefore should be subjects of our kindness and charity, that we may prove ourselves worthy children of the Heavenly Father. There is no erring soul that cannot attain to the treasures of redemption. Like in other words, there's hope for communists. It is precisely out of love for the sinner that the sin is hated. The very fact that we hate in our brother his fault and the absence of good is because of our love of our brother. Not even the violence of communism abrogates, but rather renders more imperative the Christian law. I mean, when you have these people in your own family, and I know families that do have this, they are dead set against the progressive platform, if you want to call it that. You're not going to get them by being nasty, right? It's almost like you have to continue loving the sin right out of them, and trying to converse. It sometimes becomes almost impossible to converse. What do you think?
Right. Two things I think of. I mean, Fulton Sheen said that sometimes intellectual pride is it's impenetrable in some people. And so beware of it and, you know, save your energy. Sometimes he would, no, and he would say, save your energy. Only God will crack that hard nut. You'll get frustrated trying to crack it. But I think of how his love to, he would say, I would love every communist to become a communionist. And that he wanted every communist to become Catholic and receive communion. And you think of how many converts Fulton Sheen brought, especially from communism, to the Catholic faith and his list of famous converts. So, but I think he's saying, hate communism, but you got to love the communists because they're God's children made in his image and likeness.
Right.
And I think he wanted to just help us to say, remember, hate the sin, but love the sinner.
Amen. That's right. So, amen. Well, this reminds me of G.K. Chesterton. I have a quote for you, Alan. He said, curing a madman is not arguing with a philosopher. It is casting out a devil. Okay? He said, in sum, with the madman, you cannot convince him to enter into the real world. You must enter his or her tilted universe and expose it as a fraud. It's pretty dangerous, but so are exorcisms. Pray fast and proceed with caution. I mean, we could use that quote every single day, could we not?
Well, we could. And you could see the connection between Fulton Sheen's very first book, his doctoral thesis. Chesterton wrote foreword for his book.
Kidding. So, I didn't know that.
Yeah. 1925.
Awesome.
And so it was amazing to see that connection. So it's all.
Now, where do you want to go next?
You know, again, these warnings that Fulton Sheen gave us, he said, you know, he said, America's greatest enemy is not sin, and that enemy is hate. Hatred of races, peoples, classes and religions. If America ever dies, it will not be through conquest, but suicide. And again, that's a powerful reminder to us. And again, I'll repeat it one more time. America's greatest enemy is not from without, but from within. And that enemy is hatred of races, peoples, classes and religions. And again, if America ever dies, it will not be through conquest, but suicide. And I see we're coming up to another break. And so,
and it takes you right back to the fact that there can be no world peace unless there's soul peace. You're never at peace when you hate someone, for Pete's sake. You're listening to Fight for Life, my brothers and sisters. Come back for more. We'll be here.
Fight for Life with Barbara McGuigan on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to Fight for Life. Alan Smith and I are here talking about The Greatest Commandment, a Fulton Sheen anthology on love. I'm so grateful to God that you did this, that you put this book together, Alan. I really am, because there's nothing like just reading Bishop Sheen and having all of these inspiring ways to think. You know, it's truly amazing. Where do you want to go next?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the psychological and emotional.
Yeah, great.
Because I think it's important, because people are always saying, am I going crazy? Like, you know, but Fulton Sheen has a few words of wisdom here. So
he does.
Let me share. He writes, he says, many psychiatrists today know very well that all they have to do to help certain distressed minds is to listen to their stories. Convince the anxious heart that you know the secret of his anxiety and he is already half cured. Convince the enemy that we have no bitterness in our heart against him, and his arms will fall helpless at his side. All mental abnormalities have their roots in selfishness, and all happiness has its roots in kindness.
Yeah.
But to be really kind, one must see in everyone an immortal soul to be loved for God's sake. Then everyone is precious. And so, again, people are running off to see psychiatrists, psychologists, but what they really just need to have is they need to be forgiven. They need to have this guilt.
Confession.
Yes, yes. But you can see how he's saying, let's try some random acts of kindness. Let's let's try this and see what happens. And acknowledge that every person we encounter has a soul and that they're going to encounter your soul. So it's kind of like this, you know, when we talk heart to heart, but soul to soul. But it's this idea that love the soul that was created by God that's in front of you. Right. And walk out the door and know that you're going to encounter people, but you're going to encounter souls, and try to love the soul and talk about the soul, because it's the soul that's eternal. And again, we go back to the beginning of the show, unless souls are saved, nothing is saved. Mm-hmm. But I think it's this idea of we're not going crazy. The answer is kindness. And we need to look at people for the beauty that God put in them. And that is the beauty of their soul. So words of wisdom there.
And that's so true. And bring out their assets, bring out all of the goodness in them. I find that, you know, I would go in to give retreats to a whole auditorium, gym of teenagers, right? And, you know, in the beginning, sometimes it would start where so many of them would just be making sounds, laughing, talking, you know, but you have to keep at it. You have to keep making contact. If they give you a good answer, my goodness, you make it sound like it's the greatest thing you've ever heard, right? You're winning them over. And by the end of the day, and it would be a whole school day that these seminars would take place, they were in the palm of my hand. They couldn't even be more silent to get more information. So it's a matter, you hear me say, loving the sin right out of them. It's keeping them, usually, I mean, if you walked home, you would see why they are the way they are, or why they wanted to be where they were. But when they understand who they are, a child of God, a temple of the Holy Spirit, there you go. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. So the part that I liked here, Al, was on 163, true greatness is measured not by superiority, but by service. And he that will be first among you shall be your servant. The greatest race on earth is the race that renders the most service to others in the name of God. My mom taught me this from the very beginning. I remember her saying to me, you want to be successful? Well, sure I do, Mom. Then make someone else successful. Work to bring someone else to their, you know, their goal, their potential for greatness, right? You know, you think of Anne Sullivan, little Annie Sullivan, and Helen Keller. Anne Sullivan was bringing Helen to her full potential for greatness, but at the same time, Helen was bringing Annie to her full potential for greatness. You know, it's how God planned it. It's a beautiful way, and that's how you get peace, wouldn't you say?
Yes. I think somewhere in my busy set is a little card that says, I am third. And it's a beautiful little saying that I think many of us need to put in front of us each day. God is first, others second, ourselves third. And I think if we just keep doing that, putting God first, others second, ourselves third, the world will be a better place. It really will. But easier said than done. That's for sure.
That's it. Sometimes it's real penance. It's real persecution. Yeah. You know, like Pope Francis talks about, you know, accompanying people, things like that. I mean, that's not easy. That's not easy. So especially when we have all the mess that we have going on now. Yeah. Families are messy. I mean,
But again, Fulton Sheen was not afraid to say, give God a chance.
Exactly.
Let him try him out. Let him into your life. And, you know, again, I think of this one line I'll share with you. He says, you know, because he's trying to make people be comfortable with God. But he says, do not think of God as always looking around corners with an angel as a secretary to jot down all your sins. He is also looking at your good deeds, seeking every drink of cold water you give in his name, every visit to the sick you make in his name, and every act of kindness you do for your fellow man in his name. And so, you know, these good deeds, again, God sees all and he rewards us. And, you know, I think of that scripture that, you know, when we get to be before the Lord, you know, did you feed the hungry? Did you clothe the naked? Because it was me in the naked and the hungry and the poor. And so we have an opportunity to serve Jesus directly. And again, Fulton Sheen in a kind way is doing that. But remember, God is not a boogeyman. He doesn't chase us around making notes and keeping a list of all the bad and then all the good. No, he loves us as a father. And he cares about us. He wants to see us grow and prosper. And again, when we do these acts of kindness, we do grow. And what did they say? It's in joy that we give. It's joy we give. Or it's the, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
I like that slogan. The God of our first choice is the Lord of our second chances.
Yes.
So if we are going to expect second chances, we have to give second chances to other people, right? Wouldn't you say?
Right.
So I think that, you know, the whole idea of this true greatness is measured not by superiority, but by service. You know, I was thinking of Catholic Charities on this one. You know how Governor Abbott, God love him, is sending buses of immigrants to Washington, D.C.? Guess who told, well, I can say it was our president who went to what group, what Catholic group to take care of all these people? Do you know? Catholic Charities. Can you believe that? Yeah. I mean, praise God that they are there. And then, you know, there's Samaritan's Purse, right? They are doing great good for the people in Ukraine and everything. So, I mean, when you think about it, when you think an angel is jotting down all of your sins, that's kind of how some of us grew up. That's how we were being formed. You know, it depends on where, I guess it was, but we kind of thought that way. We called it the gotcha God, that we were afraid of the gotcha God, that he was up there just, had a list.
Right. And I think this is when you look at the what Fulton Sheen was trying to do on his radio addresses, his television shows. He was presenting Catholicism in a very soft sell kind of way.
Yes.
He wasn't ever saying, oh, you have to join the church or else. But he just kept presenting the goodness of the church and what, you know, happens when you even when you sit down in a Catholic church. And he always placed this challenge to people. He'd say, just walk through the door, go sit in the pew and just spend 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel awe and a sense that comes over you that someone is there, and of course that someone is Jesus Christ. Again, you know, this is how so many people have come into the church, because they say, when I sit in the church, when I'm in the Lord's presence, there's something very special there. So again, Fulton Sheen, try it. He'd give us almost like the 30-day challenge. Try it for 30 days and we'll see, you know, we'll give you your money back. You know, so.
That's like praying the rosary. You're either going to give it up or you're going to be Catholic.
That's true. That's true.
Well, I thought this was really good as well. He said, our relations with external things are all in terms of having or of not having. The inner life of the spirit centers in contrast on being, on what one is. You know, it's not about what you have. This is what happens in a materialist culture, would not you say? It's what people have, not who people are. children of God. You know, if we could just turn that around, and everyone, it would seem to me, would be so much nicer. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I think what Fulton Sheen really wants to, he wants to say this one passage to everyone. And I think it just sums everything up. And it comes from Matthew's gospel when he says, "Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God,
yes,
and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Right.
And I know, I think that's, it's the last line in the chapter that we've been discussing. And again, yeah. I think that's the suggestion I want to give to everyone, is to seek first the kingdom of God and know that everything else will be added unto you. And so there's the formula for success. Seek God first.
And totally great way to end this show. Totally great way. Thank you so much, Alan Smith. And the book is called The Greatest Commandment, a Fulton Sheen anthology on love. It has been a delight to have you with us today. And I hope you can be coming back more and more. All right, Alan. So God bless you. Thank you so much. You are a real treasure of the church for bringing a treasure to the church, right? The Archbishop Sheen. So God keep you and your family. Bless you abundantly. Thank you. And I also want to thank my great producers, Richard and Anthony. And I'll be right back in another few weeks, 2 days. We'll be right back to talk to you. God bless you.